With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
For any Yankee fans looking for a podcast to listen to, I suggest you check out NYY Sports Talk.
Are you listening?
Tune into the fellas.
Damn.
There's no BS, there's no drama. Just feel like you with the fellas talking baseball.
Welcome back. This is episode 234 of the NYYST podcast. I'm your host, Christian, as always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
What's up, bro?
What's up, bro?
Not even going to bother trying to be original or cute with anything.
Nah, let's just fucking cut right to it.
He just dipped out again, so whatever.
Dip. He went to go yank. You went to go yank.
So we're recording here Monday night. We couldn't record last night. Chris was so tired
that
he didn't want to record, that he created a fake internet outage in his town.
Yeah. You can go on fucking Optimum if you want. It was bad. It was actually, I was nervous because it wasn't even back today. We fixed it. We got it fixed. We had to get in the horn and fix it ourselves.
So if you would like Chris to continue to create fake internet outages, then I guess don't leave a 5-star rating and review. I guess we didn't get enough this week, so Chris was like, oh, I'm just going to pretend the internet's
out. Well, I got to shout out my boy. Speaking of 5-star ratings and reviews, I got to shout out my boy Owen, who edited his review to say, I want Chris's life to go in the gutter. And I take that as a term of endearment, really. I take it as love. And also, I got to shout out someone else. Not going to get into her comment. Diana Avila. Crazy amount of respect for your review. If you're on Twitter, reach out to me. I'd love to discuss it further. Okay? Thank you. Crazy amount of respect for it, actually.
Oh, yeah?
And I mean it.
Okay. I guess...
Going to leave a 5-star rating review, you can check it out.
I'm sure it's terrible.
It's actually a very fair review that I'd love to just get my point across on. That's all.
Did it personally attack you?
It wasn't a personal attack. I thought it was very well written, and I thought it was very fair. And if you're not going to leave a 5-star rating review, I think she wrote a review that is respectable. And I have a lot of respect for it. And that's all I'll say.
Okay.
Now listen, this episode, as you know, is sponsored by our patrons. I don't know if I shouted out our last patron last episode, so I'm gonna do a little shout out here. Our newest patron, give me one moment. Okay, is Ken, and then no last name. He was just born with a first name, like Cher, or like Madonna. It's just Ken.
Oh. Interesting.
Just Ken. And we'll get to some of our patron topics they want to bring up later. But if you want to support the show, this is what the show comes down to right now, is our patrons and supporting us and pumping out as much content as we can. That's going to get amped up even more as the weeks progress. Go to patreon.com/myyst to support the fellas. And that's it. Patreon.com/myyst. Boom, bada bing, bada boom.
In case you missed it during Chris's drunken stupor last week, we did announce that if we get 250 patrons by the end of the season, that we will guarantee the show will continue in 2022. So that's our goal. Keep supporting the show on Patreon. We've had a little issue with new episodes of Mike's On Late because apparently, and this is like a real world situation, is that there might be a little bit of a health issue with John Minko, the real John Minko. So we're kind of like holding off on.
Yeah, we don't want to be like
doing parodies right now until we know what's going on. So at least you can join me. I've been on there active the last couple of weeks doing some post games.
I think I'm going to hit one up tomorrow night, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead. And I don't really feel like doing one tomorrow, to be honest with you, because okay. We're recording tonight. So
what if there's another no hitter?
Then I'll let you handle it.
Wow, bro. Thanks, man. Thanks, bro.
So we haven't recorded a full episode since before the start of the Texas Rangers series. Yankees took 3 out of 4 there, which, I mean, we don't have to get into it, but what a wild series that was. That we said they were going to take 3 out of 4. The game they lose is the Gerrit Cole game. Corey Kluber is a starting pitcher, and he throws a no-hitter. And I just want to briefly say, because like we said, we don't want to get into the Texas series because it's a week old already, but we know that there's been an abundance of no-hitters this season, but it's still cool when
it's
your
still a
team,
no-hitter, dude.
It's still cool when your team throws a no-hitter. Like, if you called me like in an hour and be like, so-and-so was pitching a no-hitter, I'd probably be like, nah, I don't care. Like, last year or 2 years ago or whatever, I would have immediately
turn on MLB. See, I disagree. I would turn it on regardless. I think it's still, I don't care how many people do it.
Yeah, but you didn't do that when I told you Joe Musgrove was pitching a no-hitter.
I don't think I was awake when you told me that.
Okay. Now you're not awake.
I'm not awake.
No, I mean, I don't, like, normally you'd rush to go and see a no-hitter. I don't know if I would rush to go see one now because there's so many have been thrown so far this year.
Okay.
But if it's still your team, it's still a cool thing.
Yeah, like, but let's put it into context a little bit too. Like, if you texted me and told me that there was a pitcher who was very, you know, he was an elite guy and missed the last 2 years of pitching due to injury and was kind of questioned, his talent was questioned coming back, I don't care what team he's on, I would turn that shit on. I'd be pumped up about it. Yes, I would. The Corey Kluber story is a good one.
And
hopefully
Darvish
it's just getting
pitching.
Better. Now, fuck you, Darvish.
I told you, yeah. You Darvish.
Fuck you, Darvish. You want to know why? Because Yankee fans ruined you, Darvish, for me after they were pissed off that the Yankees didn't get him. So I'm all over the you Darvish hype.
What do you mean? How did Yankee fans?
Yankee fans were all pissed off when Cashman didn't drop his pants for Yu Darvish.
What kind of bothered me about Yu Darvish is that he had to get traded with his personal catcher. Like, look, we get it. Gerrit Cole's got a personal catcher. We all know that. We're all okay with it at this point. But if Gerrit Cole got traded, does Higashioka have to go with
him? Did you hear about Gerrit Cole? He actually left the game in Corey Kluber's no-hitter. He stormed off because he was really pissed off about Higashioka and Corey Kluber throwing a no-hitter together and then having a battery bath after. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Jealousy in the clubhouse.
No, there's not.
Jealousy in the clubhouse, but according to Boone,
we are going to start banging.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they've actually started banging or not yet, but they're on a 6-game winning streak. They just swept the Chicago White Sox Sunday. They beat them 5-4. They had the walk-off walk from Judge because that was one of the worst bullpen games of the year for the Yankees. Everybody that came into the game gave up a run.
The second worst. The worst one was against the Nationals. That first game against the Nationals.
Yeah, I guess.
They had a 4-2 lead or 4-1 lead or some shit. 4-3 lead maybe in the 6th or 7th.
No, I don't think they were ever winning that game.
Okay, you want to make a bet?
Go ahead, look it up, Chris. I don't know if they were winning that game. I think Mo Isaac had came in to hold the game where it was, and it just...
While I look this up, can we just comment? I'm sure the stadium itself in Texas is gorgeous, but I cannot imagine having to watch 81 games from that ballpark on TV.
But didn't you get kind of, I mean, yeah,
not
no,
really.
I get it, but you,
not
you didn't
really.
Get used to it
no,
by
I
a third
hate
game.
It. No, I hate
I,
it.
I didn't say I liked it, but it,
I
your
guess.
Eyes,
I guess
your
I
eyes
got
adjusted
used
to it.
It's bad. I'm shocked more people aren't talking about it. It's really bad. Really bad. And you were right, by the way. It was 3-3 in the sixth, seventh, and then in the eighth is when the Yankee bullpen gave up 6 runs, and then 2 more in the ninth. So you were right.
I know I was right.
Still an awful Thank game, you. Though.
I didn't, yeah, well. So before we actually get into a couple of different things here, I do want to let's go over this because I don't know how many people listening to the show have been back to Yankee Stadium. So I just want to give a little experience from yesterday. I was at the game Sunday, first time back since game one of the Division Series in 2019. And if you have a chance to go to the stadium this homestand, I suggest you do it because they might change the COVID protocols to the point where they really open up the stadium when they come back after this homestand. So I suggest you go and catch a game this week.
And you suggest, even if you're vaccinated, to say you're not.
You don't have to say anything.
I thought you have to buy tickets in certain sections. I don't get it.
No. You don't have to buy tickets. If you buy a ticket in the vaccinated section, then they'll ask to see your vaccination ID. But if you don't, they don't bother you.
But what I'm saying is you liked the fact that you didn't have a million people around you. Like, it was right. just enjoyable not to have to worry about someone sitting on top of you.
And look, it has nothing to do with being afraid of COVID, not being no. afraid of COVID. It's just the fact that you got to go to a Yankee game, and you wouldn't think, but 14,000 people, especially since what we've been dealing with in the last
seemed
few
like
years,
a lot.
Still seemed like a lot. There was still energy in the ballpark. People were into the game. And if you sit in a non-vaccinated section,
it feels like you're at the Trop.
There's nobody around you. So you're only sitting with the people that you go to the game with.
Wow.
So where we sat in section 106. We were in right field. So we had the last 4 seats in a row.
I have a question. Did you see the dude with the pink mohawk in front of you?
Yeah, I seen him.
I saw him on TV. I was looking for you.
So then all the other seats in a row have ropes around them, so no one else can sit there.
Wow.
So then they move it down 6 feet, and then it's those 4 seats 6 feet away from you in the next row. And then it's by the time you get to 6 feet, it's the last 4 in the next row. So there's only 4 people in each row, and they're staggered. So it's nice. There's nobody around you. The only thing that the Yankees did to make you feel some sense of normalcy is it still takes an hour to get food.
Right. They got to make you feel like you're at home still.
But you can go. But remember, you ever go in, you know what it's like when you go in the team store and like you're shoulder to shoulder with people.
Yeah, it's awful.
There's nobody
Again,
in there.
It has nothing to do with the pandemic. It's just awful being around that many people.
You can just sit. You can walk around nice, you know, leisurely, take a look at things. It was a really enjoyable experience again. So I'm not going to get there again before the end of the homestand. But, you know, if they come home and they really haven't increased, if they haven't increased it to 100%, I'm going to look to go again.
They probably will. They probably will.
They probably will.
And I said that. I said by the summer they would. And I think by that time we definitely will have full capacity.
Right. So I'm just saying, like, if you want to go and have a relaxed experience without, because I get anxiety when people are on top of me.
Just because you hate people.
Just because I hate people.
Right.
And I can't deal with the people's stupidity, which they don't know which way they're coming, which way they're going.
Well, the one guy a couple years ago was telling his son that Derek Jeter must be injured or something because he was in the lineup.
Yes.
He'd been retired for 4 years. So that's not even a joke.
No, that happened. Okay. I remember that.
And we wonder why kids aren't watching baseball anymore. I mean, because of fucking parents like that.
So if you definitely, I would definitely recommend trying to get out to the stadium this homestand before they really increase the COVID protocols. It was about 14,000 people there yesterday.
That's a good amount.
This past week, they must have increased it.
They did.
For this homestand, because I think they were only getting about 11 or 12 previous.
Yeah, it was just under 11.
So it was good to see, man. It had a good energy to it. I mean, it's not like you go in there and you feel like you're in a ghost town. There's still people around, but you can. And look, nobody pressures you to do anything. If you don't feel comfortable, wear your mask, which, you know what? I'm not taking any chances right now because I got a baby at home. So if I was in line to get food, I had my mask on. But when we were walking around, no one's around us, I don't wear it. So the when we, it's funny though, because we pull up, and you know the good lot that we always use?
Yeah.
It's closed. So you got to use the garage.
You're talking about the, okay, you're talking about the good lot by the river that you just walk across.
The train station.
Yeah.
It's closed.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's
probably not too bad getting out of the garage, though.
No, it wasn't bad at all. There was still a little bit of traffic. It still wasn't bad. I think, it's taken over an hour to get home from there at times.
Oh, yeah.
I think it took about 40 minutes.
That's not bad.
What was I saying now? I completely forgot.
You went to go park in the good lot. You had to park in.
All right, so you're in the garage. That's another time I wore it, is because you're in that, you know, that street is so narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one time people are on top of you. So I'm just not taking any chances when I know people are going to be on top of me.
Okay.
But then once you cross the street, you know, you get to the stadium, it's open, you feel a little bit more relaxed and comfortable, right? So we're walking to the gate to get in, and my cousin goes to the usher, do I need to wear a mask? And the guy basically laughed at him, and he goes, we follow the CDC here. He must have known we were from New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. Only people from New Jersey are asking that question.
So he goes, but see her, pointing at this young lady. Mm. She has to take your temperature, which when I say that she takes my temperature, she didn't click the button when she took my temperature.
Okay, go.
Basically.
It was like post 9/11 at the stadium, they would pat you down. They'd friggin' make you take your shoes off. And then once enough time passed, they were just like, okay, let me check your bag. Okay, you're good. Like, you could have anything in your bag. They didn't care. And it's kind of like that now. They're just clicking. They're not even clicking the thing.
Yeah. So, and if anybody's not vaccinated and uncomfortable, or you're vaccinated and uncomfortable, but you really want to go to a game, that's also my point, is to go now.
Just go now. So let's just lead up to this real quick, because I'm sure it was awesome being back at the stadium. Biggest part of it, of the hype outside of not being there for a year, is that this team's finally fucking winning, right? So I know we don't want to get into the Texas series, but let's just say this. They lose the first game coming off of a loss, right? And it's almost like at this point you're still scared of this team, because once they lose two in a row, you're like, fuck, they're still not really hitting. And you don't know if they're going to go back in a downward spiral. Those three fucking wins, man, especially after losing after Cole, that, I don't care how they're winning games at this point. First of all, this pitching is fucking, has been phenomenal. Okay? I don't care how they're winning games right now. When the bats have come to life a little bit, so there's been some good things there. But who's been the catalyst? Who's been the offensive catalyst?
That's Gleyber Torres.
And is it not friggin' refreshing to see this kid go out there and start to put together a season that we said he absolutely had to do this year?
See, now knowing that he had COVID in December or whenever it was, you wonder if it was... Because you hear... It affects everybody differently.
Yeah.
Do you wonder if he was, like, behind a little bit coming back? I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just saying. Like,
well, we don't even know if he had symptoms and stuff. But... It's taking him out.
What I understand is that when he was in the first time he got it, I believe he was sick.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this from personal experience, because I had it pretty bad. You couldn't move for two. You can't move for 2 weeks. It's like the worst flu you could possibly imagine, if you had the flu, and then so that's 2 weeks you can't even see anyone. You're quarantined, and then you take a while for your body to build back up. Maybe you're right. Maybe you got something there. But even defensively. Here's where I say it's mental with Gleyber, and we know this. Even defensively, he looks so much more confident. I mean, he really does.
He's been throwing actual major league. He's been throwing actual guys that know how to play first base.
That's fair. But he just looks like he's comfortable in his own shoes. Finally,
the power's not there.
Who cares? Okay. We don't want the power.
But that's okay, because
we never asked for the power. We never asked for it.
The guy's coming up in big spots and getting hits. I mean, you can't add, I mean, that's what you want out of him. You don't need to see Gleyber Torres swinging from his heels to hit 38 home runs.
Well, here's the thing. If Gleyber Torres isn't going to be the power guy, and he's going to be the guy who, what's the biggest gripe every fan has about this lineup? It's home run or bust, right? Okay. But now let's really break it down for a second. Gleyber Torres isn't supposed to be a power hitter. He's supposed to be the guy that you're seeing right now, and he's becoming that. When DJ finally picks it back up, which I know people are on DJ, rightfully so, but he'll get there first of all, and second of all, he's really not having it. He's having a terrible year for DJ right now. Not,
I don't he's just, not having a, he's I know, not having
it,
a good year,
and he'll turn it up. He'll turn it up. Then you have a guy like Gio who has some pop too, but he's not a power guy. I mean, Gio's the guy who's going to put the ball in the gap too. So you're starting to see some guys come around that are doing what they're here to do, as well as mixing in the power guys. And that's when this offense explodes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't be having a 694 OPS and being DJ LeMahieu. I mean, that's just not acceptable. It's not. I mean, I love the guy. And I tweeted this the other day. I think he was – see, I get nervous when the Yankees do shit like this because
– when they benched him?
We've seen he's not been good, right? We can all agree to that. He's not been good. He DHs Friday, sits Saturday. So now you're saying to yourself, okay, he's not playing well. A DH day followed by a day off, that's a little sketchy.
Right.
So you're wondering if something's wrong with him.
Yeah, you made me nervous when you pointed that out.
So, you know, we haven't heard anything. I mean, I think they tracked him. He ran 96 feet to make that play yesterday. You know, that play
phenomenal. Phenomenal. Look, I don't think he's hurt. I think they're just trying to give him some days off, maybe recoup. They need him to pull it together, man. This team's not going to win a championship without DJ LeMahieu being DJ LeMahieu at some point.
Well, that's what I tweeted during Saturday's game. I said, right or wrong, the Yankees offense is not, and they go out and they score 7 runs, which, believe it or not, is tied for their 3rd highest run output this year, 7 runs. But whatever.
We'll get to that in a minute, but
they're winning games.
So yeah, get to your tweet because I want to make a comment on that.
This team is offensively is not going to take off until DJ LeMahieu gets hot.
It's true.
He's the catalyst of this whole entire thing.
It's true. It's great that Glaber's been, but over time, and especially in October, you need DJ to be there. You need DJ to be DJ. But part of my comment before when I said it, I'm just glad they're winning games, I don't care how they're doing it, is because when you look across Major League Baseball, the Yankees, it's not like this is exclusive to the Yankees right now that they're struggling offensively. Now, every team has been struggling, but not every team has been pitching the way the Yankees starting pitching has been. So you got to take it for what it is right now. They're winning baseball games, and this pitching has been absolutely brilliant. It really has been.
See, that's the thing a lot of people are bringing up that I don't know, that I can't completely get on board with, that the offensive struggles are not exclusive to the Yankees, but the Yankees are like 20th or lower in every offensive category. So obviously,
yeah, but there's not a huge gap. Of course, there's room for improvement.
There's room for improvement here. If you're telling me that they're hitting .230 as a team, but because that's second in the league because everybody else is, that's fine. But when they're like 20th, then, you know, they got to be better than
Of course,
because, you know, honestly, like we're glad they're winning. We're happy they're winning. But I mean, you can't sustain winning 2-1 ball games, 2-0 ball games. During the 6-game winning streak, they've won 2-0, 2-0, and 2-1.
I know.
So
I know. And 5-4. I mean, that's still a one-run game.
Those were 3 consecutive games. They scored 2 runs. I mean, well, obviously, one of those was the Kluber no-hitter, and then one of them was Herman pitched 7 scoreless. And the Montgomery, that was a big bounce back game for Montgomery Friday night.
Huge. He looked fucking great. Might be his best regular season start of his whole career.
See, but that's the thing, that you were just in a different place last week. So I didn't want to fight you because there was no sense in fighting you about it because you were just where you were.
No.
And No. But listen, the thing with Jordan Montgomery that I wanted to tell you, but because you were just like, oh, Jordan Montgomery sucks, this is who Jordan Montgomery is. We're not relying on Jordan Montgomery to be a top end of the rotation pitcher.
Shaking my head. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is I don't care what you expect out of any of your starting pitchers. when you have a lead against the right, fucking Orioles.
I did not absolve him from that. But what I'm saying is that this is the type of pitcher Jordan Montgomery is. When he doesn't have his good stuff, it's ugly.
Well, it can't be that ugly against a team like the Orioles.
Yes, I'm not denying that. But you understand what I'm trying to tell you right now.
Yes.
When he doesn't have his good stuff, it is ugly. It's unwatchable. Like, you just want to put your own head through the wall. That's how bad it is. But when he's got his four pitches. When his mix is working, and I think his fastball was up a tick. I think he was sitting around 94 on Friday night.
Yeah. I think that's a huge difference, too, for him.
He's good. He's got the stuff. And we've seen, like, we've seen him show up in big spots. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to?
Yeah, obviously, he has.
So you combine that when he gets his good stuff and then he's got the stones to handle the situation. You know, it's not somebody, he's not somebody that I want to throw out, you know?
No, listen, that's not what I was trying to say. I was just saying that it was so bad. I would have been okay with any rational move. I'm calling it irrational. If they were to just dump him, of course they're not going to do that. Of course that would be stupid. I'm just saying that's how ugly it was. But we got to say this about the starting pitching. Outside of Tyone, which I guess the Yankees are just going to be a little more conservative with him. They know he's still building up. They got 5 good innings out of him without giving up a run. Right? He didn't give up a run.
Did you hear anything from Boone why he lifted him after?
I didn't. I wasn't able to listen. Are you asking because you didn't get to?
I didn't hear. No, because I didn't hear it. By the time I got to the car,
I'd have to imagine, because there's no stories out there that he feels sore or anything like that. I automatically assumed and have to imagine at this point that the Yankees were happy getting 5 innings out of this guy. They have a fresh bullpen, and at this point in time, they're going for the sweep here at home. You just want to get him out of there and start. As much as you're building his arm, you got to build this guy's confidence a little bit.
Right.
He gave you 5 strong.
Right, because I also tweeted this when I was at the game, is that I said that I'm intrigued to hear why Boone lifted him after 80 pitches, but then I also went to say that I can pretty much verbatim tell you what he's going to say. We didn't want him to go through the lineup a third time.
Right.
We wanted to get him out there with a lead. I had my bullpen ready and rested. Right? I mean,
right.
I can't imagine that he would have said anything else. No.
And that just brings me to my point where, like, they were able to do that with Tyone because the Yankees starting pitching in games that they're pitching well, which has been obviously over the last 6 games has been every single one. The starting pitching's going deep. They're efficient. You had a complete game at a Kluber with the no hitter.
Everybody else went 7.
Everyone, like, even when Cole sucks, he's still going deep. He's still keeping your team in the game. And it's like, what more could you ask for at this point from the starting pitching? Honestly.
Well, think about this, right? Tuesday night, Jameson Taillon allows a run in the 5th inning. That was the last run allowed by a Yankee starting pitcher.
I know. It's crazy. I tweeted the other day before the start of the final game of the Sox series, that they went 40 innings giving up 1 run. That's not the starting pitching. That was all the pitching.
I believe the starter streak is up to 35 consecutive scoreless innings.
Yes, it is. That's phenomenal.
So I was talking to my buddy John, who we've got to get him on at some
John
point.
John Canton?
We got to get him on at some point to talk about the Jays. I didn't even realize that they're playing the Blue Jays this week. I mean, I did, but I didn't. Plus, tonight's a busy night for him anyway, because Monday Night Raw is on. He's working, dude.
He's working, man.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we could figure something out in a couple weeks. They'll be, I don't know where the hell they'll be, because it's an away series. So, who the hell knows where the Jays are playing at that point? Maybe Buffalo?
Yeah.
Open Canada.
Yeah, come on. Open Canada. We know it's a fucking joke up there. But just open it back up.
So... So, again,
you sound like Boone.
No, because, like, now I forgot what I was saying again.
Canton, getting him back. Blue Jays coming to town. Starting pitching's been phenomenal. 35 straight innings.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was telling you something on Twitter. You were getting to what he was saying to you on Twitter. Because I saw you guys going back and forth. You had a little thread.
Yeah, but we weren't arguing. We were just talking.
No.
The Blue Jays are calling up their top pitching prospect to pitch on Wednesday.
Right.
And they just got swept four games by the Rays. The Rays are on an 11-game winning streak right now.
Yeah, you know what? I got to say one thing real quick. Jeff Passan, that douche, tweeted out how great the Rays are. No one cares. No one cares. Rays fans don't even fucking care, Jeff. And you know what? I wish more than anything that the Rays were coming to New York instead of the Jays right now. Now we have to wait a couple series. I want them on an 11-game winning streak. You want to know why? Because fuck the Rays. That's why.
Well, yeah. I mean, I hate these schedule quirks. Like, the Yankees are playing the Jays, and then they go on the road for three games before they're home again for seven.
It's a very... We've been saying this for the last couple years, I guess outside of last year, because obviously that was a fucked up schedule. But, like, the scheduling's been so... I've been just scratching my head at a lot of the... Like, it's so division-heavy to start the year. And then they got the Red Sox.
Then they didn't play to Boston for 2 months.
Right. And then they don't play these guys again until like August. I mean, come on. What the fuck are they doing, man?
So it's all in the algorithm.
It's all in the algorithm.
Yeah. I don't know what. I had a thought, man. I don't know where the hell it went.
I don't know. Maybe it'll come back to you eventually.
I doubt it. So, yeah, so I mean, it was a good weekend for the Yankees. They swept the Chicago White Sox, who came in with the best record in the American League. If you looked at all their numbers, they were one or two in every offensive category. And I guess this just goes to show that good pitching beats good hitting, and that's why a lot of people look. The Yankees outfield situation is a mess right now. It's not as bad as the Mets. You know, we were watching a little bit of that earlier, but. People are like, oh, the Yankees should trade for an outfielder. Don't worry. No, look, if a situation comes along, the Yankees should not turn their heads to trading for not just to get an arm. I'm talking about good top end, number two type starting pitcher. You know, if that something like that becomes available, they should not turn their head to that.
Well, listen, since we're on the topic, do you want to just integrate some of the Patreon, some of the patron questions into what we're talking about?
Okay.
Because one of the first questions here from Kasem was he wants to talk about center field options. Who would be realistic options for this year and going forward? And Rob Skeen asks, are there prospects you'd like to see fast tracked to help with our outfield injuries, or rather trade for a cheap vet?
Look, I know when the Yankees were in Texas, I guess Brian Cashman called about Delino DeShields Jr., which I'm not interested in at all. Like, no.
Mm.
No, I'm not interested in a situation like that. Like, yeah, the guy can go out there and play adequate defense, but, like, I don't want a 4A player. I'm sorry. Like, let's not waste our time making those moves. Like, let's bring up Florial at this point now.
Well, like, here's the thing, right? Let's just start here. Who called the Aaron Hicks season-ending surgery? Because that's what it's going to be. You called it 2 weeks before they even said anything. Okay, so you knew that was happening. Now, let's break down the options that we have. You have Brett Gardner, who's never a bad option. He's good defensively. He's starting to swing a better bat right now. And you love to put him out there here and there. But again, you don't want him to be your everyday guy. Frazier, as long as Frazier keeps going out there and having 3 for 4 days, he's still going to be a good option for you. He's, again, playing a much better outfield. I didn't get to see it on TV, but I heard John and Susan were saying that on that ball. You were at the game, the home run.
My section was right there, but I was actually not in my seat at that point.
Well, apparently the fan might have didn't interfere because it was in the stands. But if that fan didn't go after the ball, Frazier might have had a chance. But John because and Susan.
I told you that it still takes an hour to get food.
Right.
And
so you were missing it.
Yeah, so you know what? And like you said, you got to get a stale Yankee Stadium pretzel. You have to.
Yeah, so you have to do that, even though they're hard and like fucking stale. Like you got to get one because they're the best.
It was a little bit better. Maybe it was because I hadn't been there in 2 years, but it was a good pretzel, solid.
The staler and the more solid, the better for me. But apparently John and Susan felt that if Judge were out there, which apparently he doesn't play the field anymore, which we talked about before we came on air, he would have had it with his height easily. So
I did see the replay. I could see where they would make that distinction.
So regardless of that, let's put that aside. Frazier's been playing a much better outfield. So really, you're not going to go out there and just get some cheap vet to plug into this lineup at this point. How much longer, to your point now, how much longer does Florial need in AAA? How much longer, really? Because we've been hearing about this kid. Yeah, he made his debut last year, but like, I feel like they're just like scared to bring him up and tell him he's got a spot here for right now.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you're not going to play him every day, then he needs to stay in AAA.
But why not play him every day?
But that's what I'm saying. If they're not going to play him every day, you said they're afraid to tell him. You said they might be afraid to tell him that he's got a spot. Okay, well, he needs to come up here and be an everyday player. You can't platoon him or play him twice a week. Like, if he's up here, he's up here to be the starting center fielder.
Can I give you my two cents of why I think the Yankees are delaying him coming up and hoping that Frazier continues to hit?
Why, do they want to trade him?
Yeah, I think if Max Scherzer is available at the deadline, you know the Nationals, even though he's a rental, they're going to want to get a guy who's proven himself in the minor leagues and who's on the cusp of being a Major League Baseball player. If you're going to trade Scherzer, I don't care if it's a contract year, I don't care if it's a rental, you're going to want to make your fans happy at that point and at least make them excited for the future. Florial's a guy that you can do that with. They're obviously not going to get rid of Dominguez for Scherzer, right? But Florial's a guy that right now you can make an argument is a good chip if they're gonna give the Yankee tax on a Scherzer rental trade.
Yeah, right. And that's another thing I want to. Jason Dominguez should not play for the New York Yankees in 2021.
No.
First of all, he didn't play last year. He needs to go and play baseball, not in the major leagues this year. And number two, I seen him play, and he's in a level right now where they're playing on basically high school fields. Yeah. So why don't we let him go and play on actual minor league fields here,
right,
before we worry about calling him up?
And why rush it? Why rush it at this point? Right? Like, let the kid fucking gain some confidence down there. He's so young. He doesn't have any professional experience at this point. Let the kid, just like you said, if you're going to bring a Florial, you want him to play every day and not miss minor league at bats. You bring this kid up and he starts shitting the bed for 2 weeks. He's not doing anything for this team. It's just, there's no positives there. He's not ready. Florial is ready now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really need to see much of him at AAA. Like, if he's healthy, bring him up.
And that's what goes back to my point of, like, why I feel the Yankees are reluctant to bring him up at this point. If they do, then obviously I'm wrong. Or maybe he takes off and he becomes even more valuable. But at this point, I think the Yankees are scared to show their hand here with Florial because they're anticipating a trade deadline move where he's a big chip.
I mean, it's a possibility, but I mean, I don't know where they are really going to go to get an outfielder. I mean, you get asked this question a lot, like, who do you see them trading for? And I don't know, because right now we're sitting here as May 24th. You know, Willy Adames got traded last week, and you want to say, ooh, Willy Adames, but even a player of his caliber, it's rare to get traded this early in the season. Like even a Mike Tauchman for Wandy Peralta trade when it happened is rare for it to happen at that point in the season, you know? So we still got to see which teams are in it, which teams are out of it, you know, who becomes available. We don't know that right now. So yeah, I think the Yankees should make a move for an outfielder because, be honest with you, you could, and I think, go ahead. There's another question about Miguel Andujar. So I saw it, ask it before.
Yeah, yeah. Because I really wanted to get to this. I really thought this was a great question. This is also from Rob Skeen, one of our patrons. You can be a patron at patreon.com/MOSD. How do you see Andujar's role continuing to play out?
Like, and this is what I just wanted to say. So I want to give a shout out to Rob for leaving the question, but championship teams don't have Miguel Andujar playing left field for them.
No, but here's what I'll say, and this is why I wanted to get to this question so bad. What are you starting to see from Miguel Andujar? a guy who started,
can't play left field.
Okay, well, first of all, let's put that aside. You're seeing the guy that we saw a few years ago getting consistent at bats and starting to hit the ball up the middle.
He's been a little bit better.
Yeah, a lot better.
No, I wouldn't say a lot. He's been better.
He's been a lot better, Christian. If you watch his swings,
he was batting zero, and now he's not. So
if you watch his swings, he's staying through the ball, putting it up the middle, and he's becoming the guy that he was a few years ago. And within a week's time, you will start to see more extra base hits from this guy. You will start to see him put some more pop behind the ball and hit a few out. You're going to see the Miguel Andujar who should have won Rookie of the Year a few years ago. And it's going to be tough to justify taking him out of this lineup when you have Clint Frazier before yesterday. I don't know what it is now, but he was batting, what, 149? I mean, it's very tough to justify taking a guy like Andujar out when he's starting to see consistent pitching and putting the bat on the ball in a big way.
But is it when he can't play the position, Chris?
Dude, first of all, I'm not saying he can, but he made a great play out there the other day. He did.
It was yesterday, and he should have dropped the ball.
He should have. But again, it's a great play. Now, has he made more mistakes than good?
Frazier's up to 171, and Andujar's up to 191.
Okay, so I just want to go through real quick over the last few games here, because if you take into account his last, handful of at-bats, Andujar's been pretty damn good.
So, he took an 0-4 yesterday.
Okay, he went 0-4 yesterday. Let me go to the game game before when they won 7-0. He went, where the hell is he? Okay, he got a hit in an RBI. Game before that, we go here. They only won 2-1, but I believe he had a couple hits. Went 2-for-3. I mean, over the last handful, it's not even just the amount of hits; it's the balls he's hitting. He's hitting them up the middle, and he's putting good wood on the ball. And that's it. Went 2-for-4 the game before that in Texas. I mean, he's starting to put together some good at bats. Look, like I said, if Clint Frazier is going to continue to go out there and hit the ball the way he did yesterday, then that's a different story. But if he's not, I mean, you gotta keep guys in there who are hitting the ball because your offense just isn't scoring enough runs. Plain and simple.
Yeah, which is another reason why I don't. They're not scoring a lot of runs. So again, you want to play good defense too. You don't want to leave runs out on the field.
Here's what blows my mind. Right, we just talked about Judge DHing. You have an opportunity right now to use Miguel Andujar as a DH as his bat gets hot and not have him as a liability in the outfield. But for some reason, you're just not throwing Judge in the outfield anymore. You're short on outfielders, and you're not playing one of the best right fielders, if not the best right fielder in the game, in his position.
Yeah, and whatever they're doing with him is working right now, so I don't really want to.
Yeah, I guess so. But at the same time, man, you can't tell me this guy's a super. Just like I say that Gerrit Cole is getting paid to be able to throw to any catcher, you can't sit here and tell me Aaron Judge is the face of the team and a superstar, yet the guy needs to DH now.
Why? David Ortiz was.
And it's working. No, but David Ortiz was never one of the best at his positions. Tell me a better defensive right fielder than Aaron Judge. Tell me right now.
Okay, I understand your point, but your first point was that he can't be the face of the team and be a DH, which is not true.
Right now, for what Aaron Judge is the face of this team for, no, he can't. He needs to be out there, especially when, first of all, we are in a situation where, I guess Giancarlo Stanton is just going to get hurt all the time, every year. But, you're in a position where Stanton's here for the long haul, and he's the DH. You have to pick and choose. Like you're saying, yeah, it's working right now, but who cares what's working right now? This isn't reality. He's not a DH. Make it work with him in the outfield. What's going on with Aaron Judge that they're so scared to play him in the outfield right now?
This is just a plan right now.
It's a shitty plan.
It's not a shitty plan. Tell me how it's not working.
Because, Christian, here's why I go against all this shit, okay? Because you want to sit here and say, oh, it's working, and he's the DH, and that's working for him. That's not what you need to work. I don't care that it's working right now. This isn't what I need to work. What I need to work is him being the right fielder every day and also hit the ball. No, so, yeah, it's a great Band-Aid. It's a great Band-Aid right now, but it's not the long-term solution.
Right. So, right, it's not going to be a long-term solution because at some point, Giancarlo Stanton will come back.
Right. And then maybe. What? And then what? Judge just goes back to playing like shit because he has to play the outfield and get
Who
used to that again?
Who said he's
going to
play like shit? But if you can save miles on him because of what we've seen happen to him, why don't you do it right now?
Jesus. I mean, come on.
We're talking about somebody that's
What's the
had
difference
issues
if you're saving miles on him now or later? I mean, he's got to go back out there and play every day.
Right. So,
so
what?
We're just going to let it go out there and that's it?
Wouldn't you want to be a little bit fresher and healthier come October?
Stanton's healthy again. The experiment's over. Let's throw Judge out there. Oh, he's hurt. No, how about go out there, get your body fucking ready to not get hurt anymore? Like sitting him on the bench is just making his body less durable. Go that's out there. Opinion. Excuse me?
That's your opinion.
Is what they've been doing working for Aaron Judge? He's sore every other day.
He's missed like 3 games this year.
Come on, man. Just give me a break. He's the starting right fielder for this team.
Listen to me.
He's not the DH of this team. Okay.
Why I'm not going to give you a break on this is because whatever has happened in the past has clearly not worked for him staying healthy and staying on the field. So why don't we try something different and see
because
if we can keep
what
his
you're
bat
trying in- is not reality. Can he stay DH? Are you going to throw Stanton out there?
Apparently not, because the guy can't even run the second base without
Listen, hurt. I'm agreeing with you. It's a great Band-Aid. It's a great Band-Aid, but it's not a solution.
If the opportunity is presenting itself to you right now to be able to play a little safer with him, why not take the opportunity?
Because I don't want to play safe with my superstar. I want him to prove to me that he can play every day in the outfield.
Okay, and right now this is what they're doing, and I don't have a problem with it because his bat is way more important than him playing right field, and you can't say that it's not. I understand that he's a great right fielder, but you cannot tell me that him playing right field is more important than keeping him in the lineup to take 4 to 5 bats every day.
Understood. But my point is, this is my superstar, and if I'm doing this with my superstar, he's not that much of a superstar. That I'm scared to throw him in his position that he's probably the best at in the entire league. Well, because I'm scared he's going to get hurt.
If he puts up MVP type numbers, which he's on pace to do right now, you know, he's a superstar. So what do you want? What are we really arguing here? You want him to play every game in right field. And you know, perfect world, I do too, but they have an opportunity.
I didn't say every game.
No, I know what you're saying, but in a perfect world, he should be in the outfield, especially right now when they seem to be shorthanded out there. Because you don't, I mean, wasn't the outfield in the fucking no hitter Andujar, fucking Gardner, and Tyler Wade? yeah. I mean, come on.
And Jesus Tyler, Christ. Let me tell you something. Did you not hold your breath when that ball was hit to Tyler Wade?
And credit Tyler Wade.
Seriously,
he got a great jump. His speed is the reason he caught that. You know, maybe Aaron Judge might not even get to that ball, to be honest.
Maybe not. Judge is faster than we give him credit for when he really turns it on. But yeah, man. I mean, when that ball was hit, I was like, fuck, there you go.
And somebody should have punched Tyler Wade in the face yesterday.
Why?
Like, dead punched him in the face.
With what?
Because in the ninth inning, he's up in the fucking count 3-0. He should be taking 3 fucking pitches.
Yeah. We talked about this. We talk about this all the time. Did you, I really am so mad at myself for not pulling the audio on the Gerrit Cole when Brian Hoke asked him if anyone talked about the Kluber no-hitter mid-game. And he starts laughing and he said, he was, you know, kind of making a joke to Hoke. And Hoke was saying, no, I didn't mean bring it up to Kluber. I just meant do any of the guys talk about it in the dugout. And he said, you know, one guy came up to me and didn't realize what was going on. He goes, man, he's pitching great. He might be able to hand the ball right over to Chapman.
It was definitely Gary Sanchez.
You think it was? I don't think Gary talks to Cole. I think he's still mad at him. I don't know.
That's true.
But it was such a good audio clip. I wish I pulled it. Nicholas Baresi, another patron, great supporter of ours, has one more topic. Do you want to bring it up now, or do you have something else?
Why not? Go ahead.
All right. He said it's more of a topic, but he wants to know, maybe you guys can share all your personal experience. That guy is yanking right now, so he's not here. personal experiences of what it was like to step foot into Yankee Stadium for the first time to watch a ball game. Every fan can relate.
I don't know, dude. I was 5 years old. I don't really remember. So,
well, I'll tell you my. Here's the thing. I don't know if I can tell you my very first experience, but there was something different about the old stadium, and it wasn't just the shaking of the crowd and the noise. There was something different walking through the through. You know, every stadium nowadays, and some of the younger listeners won't even know what we're talking about because it changed so quick. But all the stadiums now, all the modern stadiums, like you walk in through the gates and it's just open, right? You see everything. But in the old stadium, if you've never been there, you walk through, you got the program here, right? You got to buy a fucking program from this guy just because he'll harass you the whole game if you don't. And then you're walking through, you don't see anything until you start walking to your seats through that like little tunnel. And then you walk through and you see the grass and the field for the first fucking time of the year. And it was the best fucking feeling in the world. You don't get that at the new stadium or any new stadiums anymore, really. And that's the my number one experience of like going to a game. That would be it for me.
The only thing, when I initially saw you send that, I thought maybe he was talking about like going back this year. You haven't been back yet, and I really suggest that you try to you try to get out there. All I can say is that like I my dad started taking me to games when I was like 5 years old, so I really don't remember like my first time going to Yankee Stadium. Like all I can say is that this past Sunday when I went, it was a very surreal experience. Because of everything that happened, and we didn't know. Like honestly, dude, there was a point where you really didn't know what was going on. You didn't know if you were ever going to be able to go to professional sporting events again. Like obviously, like everything's cleared up. You know, we're on the right track. To be fair to you, though,
shit gets so blown out of proportion. Like things get so irrational sometimes that you didn't even know. You didn't know when the fuck that was going to happen. That you can go back to the stadium.
So it got taken away from us last year, and in this last year, I became a dad. Like, yeah, listeners to the show know that. So, like, now, it was different. Like, obviously, my kid wasn't there. She's a year old, and I'm going to bring her to a game when she's a fucking year old, especially when people are still probably carrying around COVID and shit. Like, I'm not gonna be an asshole and take that risk. But just being able to go to Yankee Stadium and knowing that, like, you're there, like it was. I didn't cry. Like I don't want people to think I was fucking crying.
You fucking
like,
cried. You teared.
I didn't cry. I swear to God, I didn't cry. But like, it was a little emotional walking in there because like you hadn't been there in 2 years. Everything that's gone on in the world. I became a dad, and
something
like,
you take for granted that you don't realize you're taking for granted.
And like, I walked into the team store, right, and I'm like, it hit me like you're not here to buy yourself something. Like you're here because you bring in a souvenir home for your daughter.
And which is very different for you because you're a fucking collector. So when you would go to games, you're like a fucking 3-year-old, you would buy everything. People would think you had a daughter at the time or a son, but really you're just buying it for your man cave. So it's a very different experience for you.
So to be able to go to a baseball game, to go watch the team that you've rooted for. Like, let's be honest. Like we don't hold things back here. Like we're very open and honest. Like people, yes. I probably said it here. Like I don't have the greatest relationship with my dad, but one thing we've always bonded over was the Yankees. Like this is like that. So like you have a relationship with your dad because of the Yankees. It's your first, like it's your first love. Like, yeah, you love your daughter, your wife, whatever, blah, blah, whatever, more, whatever. But that's your first love is the Yankees, right? So now as a dad, that's what you want to pass on to your kid. You want to pass on your love of this team to your kid. And now you're going there to bring something home for them. It was
surreal.
To me, it was special, dude. I'm not going to lie. It was really special to be able to do that. And she fucking loves that monkey. I mean, she's been playing with it for 2 days now. So that was really cool. I bought her a foam finger. I bought her a couple of t-shirts. And she's huge into Minnie Mouse. You know that. They didn't have any Minnie Mouse shit, but they had a Mickey Mouse magnet. And she likes playing with magnets. So I bought all that shit. I was going to get her a bat, but I was like, I don't know. This is fucking...
She'll fucking use it to beat you over the fucking head with.
This might be dangerous. I said, we'll save that for when she's old enough to...
And if she grows up as a Red Sox fan, she has daddy issues. And that's really what it comes down to.
We were talking about that on the way home. And I said, I told my car, I was like, listen, I love my daughter more than anything. But if she brought home a Red Sox fan, I would kick her out of the house.
Absolutely.
I was like, I said to him, I was envisioning, like, you know, you envision things. And I said, I said, I didn't waste the last 16 years of my life raising you for you to do this to me. Get the fuck out.
Absolutely. I mean, would you rather your daughter bring home a guy who just has his life all just a fucking mess?
Bring home a meth head before you bring home
100%. That's all I'm getting at this point. I'll have more respect for you at that point. As long as he likes the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, shoot your fucking meth up, dude.
Whatever you got to do, just don't come into my fucking home and tell me you want to date my daughter and you're a fucking Red Sox fan. Okay.
So yeah, I mean, like, if you really want to share a first time experience, the first time back, with everything that's happened in the past year, like, I'll never forget yesterday. And like, we were, you know, and it's weird because you're sitting there, right? And they're up 3-0. Peralta gives up the home run, and you're saying to yourself, this fucking team
they're gonna fucking blow another sweep.
They can't sweep for shit, right? And they get the cheap run.
Wasn't that Judge's first walk-off, too? What a cheap fucking first walk-off.
They get that cheap run. They're up 4-2. Green gives up a fucking home run. Now it's 4-3. And you're like, in comes Chapman. And I'm like saying to myself, this motherfucker.
This is going to be the game.
Because if you've been watching him the last couple of outings, he's been teetering on blowing the game.
Yeah.
Because Friday night when they turned a triple play, which was fucking awesome that they did that shit.
Phenomenal.
He would have blown the game if they don't turn a triple play.
Oh, for sure. And what was the game? It was the game before that, I believe. He threw the ball and they came out. They thought he was injured. I think it was something with his finger. They ended up saying,
yeah.
So maybe something's going on there, because you gotta admit, as fast as he's still throwing, when he has that fucking slider and the splitter, whatever, that's when he is on a different fucking planet lately. So maybe something's going on there. Yeah, but he's playing through. He said that he's not
hurt. But it's either the tip of his finger or the nail or something's bothering him where he can't put the pressure on the ball to get the break on it.
Yeah, which is huge. I mean, if you can't, that's why. Like, if the Yankees offense needs to really step up here and try and get through this series, blowing out a couple of these games and not having to go to him, let him get a little more time off to heal that thing, because Chapman blowing games is not fun. I mean, he's been so much fun to fucking watch this year. To see him kind of flaking off here, it's not fun.
But you knew he wasn't going to have a zero ERA all year. No. So, I mean, like...
Hey, they still won.
Look, and then that's what I'm saying, dude. Everybody was getting into the game in the bottom of the ninth inning. It wasn't like the stadium was deflated. They were getting into it. I wanted to see somebody punch Tyler Wade in the face. He got so fucking lucky that he's fast and was able to get the ball went past the pitcher.
Yeah.
And he was able to beat it out. Mm. Why are you fucking swinging the bat, Tyler?
No, don't swing. If you have seriously, this is not a joke. If Tyler Wade in any situation has a 3-0 count, he needs to take 3 pitches. I don't care if he strikes out with the bat in his shoulders. Take 3 pitches, Tyler. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, so, but it, like you said, dude, but the thing is, it was like, I don't know, it was like a fart in church or something. I guess that's an expression people use. Like,
yeah, it just kind of like 1974.
It was just kind of like something that happened, and you're like, okay, like it kind of did take a little bit of the air out of the room when Judge walks. It's like, yeah, we won, but like, okay.
You kind of, like, you were hoping for like a fucking hit up the middle or something.
Even a sack fly, I think, would have been a lot better in that situation.
But you know what? Like I said, you'll take any fucking win you can get right now. This team went from how many games under 500? What was the low? 6 games under?
No, 5.
They were 5 games under 500. And since going into the Detroit series, they are 17-5. With a long fucking road trip in there, where they went 7-3. That is fucking phenomenal, man.
In a longer stretch, I believe the Yankees are 23-9 since their low water mark.
Which is the best
record in baseball.
Are they even playing that, like, even close to their potential right now?
And when have you sat there and watched and said this team is clicking on all cylinders?
A couple games they have, I gotta say.
But not consistently.
And when that fucking happens, watch out. Watch out. I tweeted this when the Yankees were 5 games under .500, and I can't wait till midsummer when I can retweet it. And I said, I can't wait for midsummer to watch all these Yankee fans on Twitter react when the New York Yankees have the best record in the American League. It's coming. It will happen. And this team is going to be the team to beat.
Well, here's what I tweeted last night after I made fun of Craig Kimbrel for being a loser. I said, I don't care how bad the 5-10 start was. It was silly to say you're done or or the season is over. Baseball is too long to make those proclamations after 15 games. 32 games later, the Yankees are essentially tied for first place and just went through the rotation without allowing a run.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's been a great run that they've been on. And now you don't expect to go through the rotation again without allowing a run. So now you want to see the bats wake up. Like, the Yankees just swept the White Sox and they hit two home runs in the series at home. That's crazy.
Crazy. I mean, one of them was a good thing too.
And that was one of them was a garbage time home run from Mike Ford, the king of garbage.
King of fucking garbage. Michael K was so shocked at that home run that he didn't even know what to say. And that takes a lot for Michael K to be speechless for a minute. That takes a lot. That ball was fucking...
No, that was crushed.
Crushed. I didn't think Mike Ford had that in him, actually.
He's got... I mean, if he ever makes contact where he's not popping up to the third baseman, he's got power. I mean, it's what they've always liked about him. But... you got to think about Ford and Wade in the sense is that, like, they say that cockroaches can survive a nuclear war.
Right. That's him.
That's those two guys because when Gleyber Torres came off the COVID IL, you were thinking, okay, one of them's got to go, right?
Right.
And then Rougned Odor had a kid.
And he survives.
So they survive. And then you're like, okay, Odor's only going to be gone a day or two. Somebody's got to go. And Ryan Lamar... winds up on the fucking IL.
Yeah, maybe for the best. Maybe for the best.
So they survive again.
Maybe for the best, so, man.
It was, like we said, it was a good weekend. Yankees sweep, 6-game winning streak. The Blue Jays are in town. The Blue Jays got swept 4 games by the Rays. So, I mean, they're going to be coming in looking to right the ship a little bit. They lost a lot of the games because of their bullpen. They were blowing games late. And when we last time we saw them, their bullpen was like unhittable. So we'll see what happens there. We'll take a look ahead here. Unless you got anything else from the patrons or anything else you want to touch on?
No, man, not for me. I'm good. I'm wiped out.
So the Blue Jays are coming into the Bronx Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for a 3-game series. All 7:05 starts. So Chris says he's going to do a Patreon Wednesday. Maybe I'll do one. No, Chris says you're going to do one Tuesday night.
See.
So I'm going to try Wednesday and Thursday, maybe one of the 2 days. I'm not sure because they're all 7 o'clock starts. It's going to be hard. It's just scheduling wise. We can't do a full show at that point. So maybe I'll save mine to wrap up the series on Thursday unless something, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I'll definitely do one. Chris says he's going to do one. So we'll have some bonus content on Patreon this week from the both of us. Tomorrow,
and apparently SGR has some stuff in the works too.
Fuck you, okay. Ezekiel.
All
right. So to start the series off, Corey Kluber is going to take the mound for the first time since his no-hitter because Corey Kluber is a starting pitcher.
Kluber.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do right here. Okay.
Okay.
I mentioned 4 different things that I bought my daughter when I went to the game.
I only heard one of them.
You only heard one of them. And it's very specific one I'm going to say right here. I told you, I said that I mentioned that the first thing that I mentioned is something that I gave her and she's loved it and she's played for it for the past couple of days. Mm-hmm. If you can be the first person to DM me what that item is, I will send you our brand new Corey Kluba is a starting pitcher t-shirt. Okay. So we're going to reward you for listening to the show. If you tell me what that item is, DM me at Chris_NYYST. Be the first person to do it, and I'd have the time receipts to find out. We'll send you a Corey Kluba is a starting pitcher t-shirt. So we're going to reward you.
Has a stat line on there and the date.
So we're going to reward you for listening to the show here. You know, and I might do it again next week. I'm going to reward you for listening to the show. You know, I'm going to pick out something that a detail that you pick up during the show. You send us a DM. First one, boom, get some merch. So we said Corey Kluba is a starting pitcher. And his first start since the no-hitter, he's going to take on ex-Met Steven Matz, who, I mean, the Yankees should really kick the shit out of him. They really should kick the shit out of him.
Didn't he pitch against them this year already?
Yeah, he probably pitched a perfect game.
Probably one of the no hitters.
So the Jays are calling up their top pitching prospect, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Manoa.
Yeah,
Alec Manoa. Something fucking stupid.
So he's going to pitch Wednesday, and he gave an interview. I don't know when the interview was from, but somebody asked him, who does he want to face the most, or who does he want to strike out the most in Major League Baseball when he makes his debut? And he said the entire Yankees lineup.
Doable, but let's fucking bash his fucking brains in instead. Right. How's that sound?
So Herman will take the ball, and Herman's sporting a 3.05 ERA. So, I mean, dude, whatever happened to him when he got sent to the alternate site, he's gotten his head on straight since then.
Yeah, you know what? It would be such a... I'd have to imagine if he goes like six scoreless, he's going to have a sub 3 ERA. And
obviously.
And man, like, look at this fucking rotation right now. Look at the ERAs. Outside of Montgomery and Tyone, who really Montgomery's inflated because he's had a couple really bad starts. But for the most part, Montgomery's been really good. And Tyone's got to put it together still. I mean, he's definitely going to be a work in progress, but this starting rotation has a lot of potential right now, and it could only get better once Sevy gets back.
Yeah, and the series is going to close out on Thursday with Robbie Ray against Jordan Montgomery. So both teams are going to miss each other's aces. No Hyunjin Ryu and no Gerrit Cole in this series. So, hey, man, you know what? Again, you know, the Jays are scuffling. I'm sure they're going to want to come in here and play well. The Yankees haven't played well against the Blue Jays yet this year. I mean, let's look at it. They lost the opening series 2-1. They lost it. Then they went to Dunedin. They lost 2-1. And then we haven't seen them since.
Yeah, I mean, this is a different team right now.
This is now where the Yankees have to correct course and start playing better baseball against division rivals. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, again, going to harp on the same thing we harp on every time we record. Win the series. Stack series wins.
Keep going.
Win the series.
Keep it going.
So there is one thing that I wanted to touch on before we wrapped up, and it just hit me, and I do want to bring it up here. We know where it came from, whatever. I don't care. But Brian Cashman gave a quote a couple days ago when he was asked what was going to happen with Luis Severino when he came back. And he said that Luis Severino's role on this team was going to be based on how the rotation was starting, that if he needs to be a starter, he'll be a starter. If he needs to come out of a bullpen, he needs to come out of a bullpen. Mm. I don't think you, just based on your action, I don't think you really care for that.
I don't.
So if the Yankees, we're still probably looking at least another month and a half before we can even realistically think about this. If this team is still pitching to this level, who do you bump?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a better thing than not for these guys to make pulling them from the rotation unjustifiable. Right? Like, if you're sitting here saying you can't justify taking anyone out, that's a good thing. There's only one guy, in my opinion, that is the odd man out, and that's Jordan Montgomery. But again, if he's going to throw in starts the way he has been, it's going to be tough to pull him. But you got to, you can't go into Seve coming back saying, oh, maybe he's a starter, maybe he's a bullpen guy. You got to find starts for him, and it's got to be his job to lose. I'm sorry, he's too good. He's too good. If he's healthy, he's too good to say right off the bat that he's not a starting pitcher in this rotation. That's where I have issues with it. I understand what Cashman's saying, and I think it's logical. But at the same time, man, Luis Severino, if he can come back and be Luis Severino, he's got to be a starting pitcher for you.
Yeah, I agree to an extent, but imagine being able to deploy him as a weapon coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, but how many weapons do you really need? Again, let's just talk about this for a second, real quick. What are you using him for, first of all? Just a quick answer. Don't go into depth with it. What are, in your mind, what is deploying him as a weapon to you? Is that a long reliever? Is that a fire extinguisher type role?
No, I don't think I use him as a fire extinguisher. I give him clean 2 innings.
Okay, so how many times have the Yankees truly needed a clean 2 innings out of a guy that they don't have a guy out there that can do that for you? And so my point is, really, is you're taking a guy who has so much value as a starting pitcher if he's healthy.
This is an October move. You're not going to go to, like yesterday, they got 5 innings out of Tyone. They wanted to go to the bullpen. Fine. You're not going to go to fucking Wandy Peralta.
Look,
as decent as he's been in October. Wouldn't you rather be able to go to Severino in that spot?
Look, if you're telling me that Corey Kluber is going to pitch the way he has been for the most part for the rest of this season and truly solidify the number two spot in this rotation as we predicted on the show. And then you're going to tell me in October.
Why is that? Because Corey Kluber is a starting pitcher.
And then you're going to tell me that because you have such a solid 1-2 in October, you're going to use Seve as a weapon out of the bullpen. I am 100% all for it. 100%. But if you don't have, now you got to talk Herman too, is really, I mean, if he has another good start here, he's neck and neck with Corey Kluber. He really is. I mean, he's been that good. So you're building up three guys now who really you can't justify not starting in the playoffs, then fine. But I got to still see how strong Seve comes back. Maybe the Yankees just aren't expecting him to be the guy that they can rely on to go out there and take the ball for 6 innings. By the time he's coming back in the season, maybe they don't think there's enough time for him to really build up to be that guy this year. And instead, they're going to just use him as a weapon. And then I'm fine with it.
And you also got to look at situations of other guys in the bullpen, is that are you going to trust Jonathan Weizsäcker all the way through October? You're putting an unprecedented amount of stress on this guy.
Sure.
It's a new. I mean, look, you hope that he comes through with in flying colors, and so far he's been really good. He's had a couple of hiccups, but I mean, he's been the guy that Boone's going to when he doesn't have Chapman available.
Well, look, you're starting to see guys come back down to earth a little bit. Jonathan Loaisiga being one of them, and it's not so much his stuff as it is that command that really has always plagued him the first couple of years that he came up here. You're starting to see him lose a little bit of that command, and the second he loses that, he is a completely different pitcher. He's completely hittable. He's guys are seeing the ball much better out of his hand when he doesn't have command because they're waiting on certain pitches and they're not swinging and missing over his junk. And he becomes a guy who you can't really rely on the way you were in the first half of the season so far.
And now look, granted, if the pitching holds up to this level that it's been, which we don't expect, but even if it's better, it's decent, where guys are giving you consistent 6-7 inning outings. Maybe this is a different conversation, but
maybe
we've seen in the past couple of years, the Yankees get to October, not last year because it was only 60 games, but take a year like 2019, they get to October, these guys' arms are shot. They're gassed because they pitched so many innings in the regular season. Now, you're going to insert Britain into this, but also wouldn't you like in a situation like this, you say to yourself, it's going to take X to stretch out Seve. And by that time, what are we going to get? Two starts?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Maybe they feel like he's coming back so late in the year at this point that they won't have enough time to build him up. So why not use him the way they best can for this season.
So you keep Miles off of maybe Chapman's arm, Loizaga's arm, Green's arm, you know?
And we've seen Seve out of the bullpen, and he's pretty fucking dominant.
When Severino doesn't have to worry about pacing himself, he's a... I mean, look, I don't want him to become a long-term reliever. I think in 2021, he should be the legitimate number two behind Gerrit Cole, even a 1A. You know, that's your hope for him. But when he doesn't have to pace himself, when he can just go out there, balls out, and throw.
He was at his best.
I mean, he's a completely different guy. So
I'll say this, just last thing to wrap that thought up. I think here's all it will take for Severino to come back as a bullpen guy. It won't even take Jordan Montgomery being great or good. I mean, he's got to be good, obviously, but all it will take is Jordan Montgomery to continue to go out and pitch innings. If Jordan Montgomery, more times than not, can pitch you through the sixth inning and hand the ball over in the seventh, whether that be giving up three runs, four runs, here and there, maybe throwing in a couple shitty starts, but if he can eat innings for you and be somewhat effective throughout that, they're not going to mess with that. They're going to leave a guy in there who they know can give them six innings more times than not, instead of trying to build Seve up and working through a progression where he's only giving you three innings, four innings, five, and then by the end of it, it's fucking October.
Because you know another thing I don't want to sit through right now, especially at this point, at that point in the season, is having to work two guys now. Yeah. I think Corey Kluber's at a point where we're fine with him. It's okay.
Yep.
Even though I think the Yankees had a quote like, oh, we're still gathering data whether or not Corey Kluber can sustain this for the full season. Well, which that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, because I gained it. Yeah. It's called a no-hitter.
I mean, if your concern is that, then why the hell did you sign a guy in the first place? Come on. Number one. And Jameson Taillon is still a fucking project. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't have traded for him.
No, he's just a project.
But he's a project right now. So, you know, let's not have two projects in the rotation.
I agree.
And that's another reason why I would go back to saying if something comes along that makes sense to add more good starting pitching to this team, you do it.
Yep.
So, you know what? I do. I have a lot of respect for Jameson Taillon for what he came back from, to Tommy John's, the cancer, everything. But I'm trying to win a World Series this year. So if I can bring somebody in where your role is basically non-existent for the rest of the year, I'm sorry, but we have you next year and, you know, we'll see you then, right?
See you then.
All right. And we'll see you probably, I don't know. It's Memorial Day weekend. We'll see what we can, we'll still record Sunday night.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on, bro.
I might be fucked up.
Good. I like that.
I'm going to a barbecue. I might be fucked
up. Nice. Me too.
So we'll see. We'll definitely get something going either.
Yeah, we got it.
Because the Yankees are playing a day game on Memorial Day. So if we're too fucked up to record Sunday night, we'll record after the game on Monday night.
We'll see how
night.
This so, goes. Releasing on Tuesday, maybe we'll do a Monday night show that night.
All right. So we'll definitely be back sometime after the Detroit series, either Sunday night or Monday. I don't know who the hell is going to be wanting to listen to us fucking jerk offs after on Memorial Day anyway. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But thank you for listening to episode 234 of the NYYST podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at NYY Sports Talk. Chris, tell them where they can be a patron again.
Patreon.com/NYYST.
All right, $5 a month. You get all the bonus content. you get discounts on merch and a whole bunch of other shit that we're working on. So please support us there. Thank you very much for listening. Chris, say goodbye.